drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Don't call it a comeback. We've been here for about a year. And Nick and I, coming from the south side, got here just in the nick of time. No pun intended. APB on Barry Laminack, but we know he likes to be dramatic, and we also know he's listening, which means he's going to Willis Reed us, or Paul Pierce, for those of you millennials that don't remember Willis Reed, and he's going to come limping in, probably in a segment or two, but we couldn't let you be subjected to national programming and that guy for more than a day.
Whoever that guy is, I don't even know who he is.
Chandler Parsons? You want to talk? Carmelo Anthony is so much better than Chandler Parsons. Okay. We feel your pain, and so we had to fight through the elements to get here. Nick and I were in constant communication to get the best route here, and we've made it so that we can make your day.
Boy, did I, am I glad I'm here, because I got all the way to the front door safely, and they blocked off the parking on the second floor.
Assuming
because of the ice.
Yep.
And I almost slipped and fell on my behind right in front of the entrance
door. It is slick out there.
I thought it was ice. I mean, I thought it was water. It turned out to be ice. Almost busted my ass right in front of the building.
Yeah, there's like an educational book that should be published in terms of how to drive and how to just function.
Just how to get around
in cold weather.
Dumb Houstonians like myself.
Someone on Facebook had a great analogy for driving. They were like, imagine you had your 87-year-old grandma in the back seat, and she had a full gravy holder to the top, and you had two open containers of, like, rubbing alcohol and other smelly stuff in the front seat, and that's how. And then try to drive the car, because you're not going to drive so carefully, and you're not going to jam on the brakes. But you're right. Even, like, if you watch football like we do, you got to do the toe tap when you see any remnants of ice. You got to go so quickly with short little choppy steps, or you're going right down on your ass.
And of course, Houstonians can't comprehend that, because they can't even drive in rain, so don't expect them to know how to drive on ice. So
I was gonna say, so they made Lisa stay in a hotel last night so that she was up in time to do the news.
They made her stay
in
a hotel
because they were afraid, and they were probably right. There was no way she was getting in this morning with the way 59 was and the way all the roadways were. So she leaves the house. Thank goodness we didn't. They called off the show yesterday, because it was me and Taylor all day and all night, because she went to the hotel. And I mean to tell you, the roadways and the fact that even still on our way here, 59 going towards Sugar Land is completely still closed down.
Yeah, I didn't notice it. I didn't notice it until I drove up here.
And more power to the Houston Police Department and everybody and Sugar Land PD. But at the same time, don't let it go on regularly scheduled lights on the feeder if you're going to make everybody use the feeder. Because with 150 cars in line and only 25 getting per light, and then you're waiting again.
Oh, takes time.
Yeah, you're not doing yourself or anybody else any favors. And really, there's not that many people out as opposed to a regular workday. They probably could expedite the process, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do some serious research in the third hour, like when I'm not paying attention.
As always, yes.
And figure out how to get home the best way, because it looks like 59 is just messed up.
Yes, you need a plan for both of us, because that's going to be an adventure. Barry's on his own adventure trying to get in, as he is up on the north side.
I imagine there's a struggle getting in from his side, because I guess 45 and the Hardy Toll Road is
45, or the toll road still has lots of overpasses. I mean, look, the city doesn't really think that they're ever going to need to worry about ice on. I'm sure they have the signs for the once in a lifetime. By the way, we had a once in a lifetime flood, so nothing's selling you short on terms of freezing
water.
Too.
Let's try to get through some ice.
And yeah, so I'm sure he's navigating through that. He of course did not leave early, because he planned on this so that he could get another kind of an abbreviated day.
That's cool.
Yeah. You know, but we had
one segment short, but it's all good.
We had let's see what happens. we had lots that we didn't talk about yesterday that happens to be the talk of the town, and that is locker room gate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally in the secret passageways.
Crazy.
I guess someone was waiting for a tweet that said that Lukumba Mute was coming through the ceiling through a secret entrance because
he played for the Clippers. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because I don't know. Well, you're actually schooling me on the secret entrance in Toyota Center. I've been covering the team for three years now. I have never even...
They don't want you to know.
I had no clue, but apparently there's a little secret passage in the Staples Center that players use, from what I read, and you can probably give your take, but from what I read, they use it for where players can kind of reconnect with other players in the locker room without having to deal with the fans or the media. What do you know about this passage?
I mean, in terms of most new modern-day arenas, there's many passageways simply because those locker rooms are used for concerts, for other sporting events. Sometimes in the case of the Lakers and the Clippers, both having home locker rooms in the same building, and the LA Kings. Performers that don't want to be seen until they hit the stage have to have certain edge. So there's lots of those. And obviously, if you play in a building for any amount of time, like Chris Paul has done, and don't sell Lukumba Mute short that he did as well, play for the Clippers. But you get to know the ins and outs of the building and how to get around. And it's not even like you're trying to be sneaky about it. A lot of times you just know, like if you're trying to get from point A to point B, that there you're going to see that there are a few other escape routes that if you're not in the mood, that you can avoid a lot of the traffic and the media in this case. But, you know, from the standpoint of the Staples Center, the report's coming out today that it was basically Trevor Ariza leading the charge, and that Adrian Wojnarowski's last report said that basically Chris Paul and James Harden were doing more policing than they were and trying to stop Trevor than they were participating. So we'll see if that helps, because based on the fact there was another fight last night in the Magic and Timberwolves game and Aaron Aflalo was throwing haymakers and it's a bad look for the NBA and they're already talking about how bad the officials are, you're in a situation where the NBA is probably going to crack down on these guys kind of hard, you know?
Yeah, not the first time Trevor Ariza made his way to the visiting locker room. This time it was on the road. Last season it was...
Last year, Nick, it was on the road as well.
Oh, I thought it was here at Toyota.
It was in Dallas against Mejuri. Him and Mejuri, the backup center for the Mavs, got into it. And he wanted to go to the locker room in Dallas to go get him and had to be stopped at the door. So this is a pattern that the NBA is not proud of with Trevor Ariza. I tweeted to a couple people yesterday when they were talking about Harden, who's got an injured hamstring but was at the door. Let me just tell you this. If James was all by himself, he ain't going in there. The only reason why he even sniffed the Clippers locker room was that he was going with strength in numbers. Because he's, as much as he wants to portray him as being that guy, he's not that guy.
Yeah, Shaq and Charles Barkley were actually laughing at the fact that there were reports of police being in there or police presence.
Yeah.
And they were just cracking up. It was the one thing they actually seemed to be, you know, in agreement on the air, because Shaq is always throwing punches and he just never agrees or likes anything that Charles Barkley says. I was tweeting about that.
But I've told you, and Kenny Smith even said it, two guys that would have welcomed guys from another team coming into their locker room because they would have been throwing punches first and asking questions later, those were those two guys. Because I have seen Charles and Shaq get into it with one another. I have seen both of those guys go after others. And they have never shied away from a fight. Matter of fact, there's a story out right now that's surfacing because Amari Stoudemire did some ESPN TV and was talking about unnamed teammates that got into an argument. And a half hour before the game is supposed to start, right before the team is supposed to go out of the locker room, one player put the other in a sleeper hold to the point where he made him go to sleep and then woke up all dazed and confused. And the whole team was like, what the hell just happened?
Wow.
And they had to revive him. Well, it turns out Steve Mash told the same stories, but he didn't hold back. It was Shaq who got into it with Gordon Giracek, and Shaq was trying to be serious talking to the team. Giracek was screwing around. Shaq told him to stop. When he didn't, Shaq put him in a sleeper hold and put him to sleep.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. So, I saw Charles. I was in the locker room with Charles after that infamous fight with Shaq, and I went into the home team locker room, and he was still fired up and sweating bullets going, you see me take that big man down? He goes, 300 whatever pounds was nothing for me. I'll go right back right now. Right. And he wasn't afraid of Shaq. So he loved to mix it up a little bit, too, unlike today's NBA, where you heard everybody from the Clippers to the security people going, this is the NBA. No one really wants to throw down.
How about Coach D'Antoni dropping an F-bomb to Kevin Love?
Several.
That was fun.
No, to Blake Griffin.
Or no, I said Kevin Love. I don't know why I said Kevin Love. Blake Griffin. That was hilarious.
But did you watch the replay? Yeah, Griffin was already a little bit bothered by the fact that Coach wasn't staying in the coach's box. So when he ran down the court, he dusted him with a little elbow. in transition, and D'Antoni wasn't having any of that.
Yeah, that was fun.
I think
Chris Paul got his bag, he said. He goes, I know that's coach, so.
Here's the one thing that bothers me. Austin Rivers is a piece of you-know-what.
Yeah, dude, that was my next thing. I couldn't stand his behavior, because you know he was going to get stepped on by Trevor. Like, let's be real. Yeah, you're the backup of the backup.
Is Daddy coming to fight for you, too, Austin? Because Daddy has done everything to make sure you have a career in the NBA. Literally, there are pictures of him standing on the court, not just, like, on the bench, on the actual court while game action is going on, talking smack with a walking boot and a suit on, and you know everybody just wants to rearrange his face. Paul already has had issues that was publicized before and after he left the Clippers with Austin Rivers and the fact that Daddy's son was getting too much. Well, I can see why. You know, I sat courtside during that series a few years ago, and Austin likes to run his mouth better than he likes to prove to people he can play the game. And I can see why. But is it really worth it if you're Trevor Ariza to want to go and mix it up with the backup point guard that's in a walking boot? I mean, at some point...
And when you're looking, the camera angle, when you see Trevor Ariza and Rivers talk crap, all you do is see Pat Beverly. He's just enjoying this entire situation. Yeah. He has a massive smile on the sideline.
Well,
did you see Jerry West?
Jerry West came back to the side of the court, and Jerry West was acting like he was going to go out there, and Beverly grabbed his arm, and they were laughing. So they all had the right attitude. But again, what happens on the court... Leave it on the court. Instead, it goes to the locker room. Now you're worried about suspensions. Hopefully, Paul and Harden don't get it, because if the report is true, they were trying to be peacemakers.
For Harden, I guess at this point, it's whatever. It's going to be, I'm assuming, just one game.
We'll see, because here's the other thing.
Because he's already been out for a while anyway.
Like
Chris Paul is not a good situation.
No, and like I said, the league's going to make an issue of this and use someone as an example, because they had fights last night. Martin Luther King Day in the NBA, celebrated with games all day and all night. And to celebrate MLK Day, you got a melee that goes into the locker room. Not a good look. So they might come down hard on Trevor Ariza. Maybe they'll come down with fines, hopefully, on the other guys involved from a Rockets perspective. But we'll have to wait and see. Speaking of wait and see, we're still waiting for Barry Laminack to show up.
He is not in the building, but he will be. I don't know where he's at. But he will be in the building shortly.
I love the way you have his back. So you are navigating with Barry, so you know he will be here. And we do know he's on his way. But you're hearing the sounds of Foreigner and Cold as Ice, because what we did for Way Back Wednesday is we decided to go hot and cold because of the weather. So we're going to get to the ice cold of it and also a little heat of the matter as we continue to roll on. If you want to reach the show, 713-780-3776, HR and P Lister line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's at Barry is Funny. It's at The Producer Nick. It's at Pac-Man Joel with a K as we continue to manipulate our way through the overcrowded and stuffed hallways of Gal Media. The Usual Suspects just getting started right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Don't call it a comeback now. I teased it on Twitter, but we are one. We are whole. We are a unit again, as Barry has made his way in from the farm and has joined us.
I was listening on the way in, and I love how you're like, me and Nick, we braved the elements. We came in from the... But Barry just loves to be dramatic. I was like, why do I love to be dramatic?
That you were coming from a long way away.
Why? Yeah, I mean, no, I was trying to be practical, because if I would have left at 10 o'clock, I still would have got here at 1, because most of the roads were still iced. I slid 3 times on the way down here, and it was all on the loop.
Yeah, but so, you've got a plow. You've got those big tractors.
I should have rode my tractor here. You're dead right. I should have.
John Deere here.
Yeah. My wife, you talk about a lady that's pissed this morning. I know you said Lisa was in a hotel.
Yeah.
Nora gets a call from her work, and I won't mention who it is.
Oh, go ahead. Come on, do it.
MD Anderson
there
Cancer Center. Okay. See, I'm not a punk like you. I'm not a punk like you.
Don't you Austin Rivers me. Don't you dare Austin Rivers me.
But they're like, yeah, you got to be in at 11:30. And she's like, but I almost wrecked like 8 times. And she has 2 patients all day. She was like, really? I've risked my life 8 times for 2 patients? I guess. Okay, that's your job. But yeah, so it could always be worse, right?
No doubt.
I missed one segment. I left the house at about 12:15-ish.
So you left normal time?
No. I usually leave at about 11:15 and get here by 12. So it took an extra 15 to 20 minutes, but I think I timed it about right. Any more or less, and it would have been about the same anyways. So I feel like I nailed it. I did hear you guys talking about the locker room gate or whatever it was, and I was tempted to call because I just wanted to jump in.
We saved it for you. The door's still open.
But, you know, the a couple of things that I was, as I'm watching that happen, some of the first things that I thought of is, man, Blake Griffin is a douche.
He is.
What a douche.
Griffin and Rivers. I think they're both.
Griffin is a douche.
First of all, he knew exactly what he did when he brushed D'Antoni, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because you'll see him later on in that whole little thing that goes on. He's high-fiving and laughing, and he basically shrugged his shoulders like, got him. I got him all worked up. I got texts. I got all that, and all that was because of me. It's like, he knew what he was doing, but you also have to fault the Rockets for falling into it.
Which they do all the time.
They're going to defend their coach. I get it. But at the end of the day, this whole trip to that's all Wolf tickets. That's all that is. They're all selling Wolf tickets. No one's going to fight. I know you say Ariza's a badass and a thug and all that. But
I didn't say he was a thug, but he is a fighter and he is badass.
But at the end of the day, man, and nobody's going over there to fight.
I guess it creates a rivalry like everybody was saying on Twitter.
Did you hear what they said about Capella?
Yeah, he was at the front door.
He knocked on the door, and a lady opened it and then looked at him and closed it, and he just stood there.
Yeah, and then he went back and took a shower. So
like, if you really wanted in, you would have you pushed your way in.
Capella's like the nicest.
And he is.
Rocket. He's the nicest starter, for sure.
Dude, he's Switzerland. Well, close. But you know what I'm saying. he's not going to piss off either side. But at the same time, and then you get into Austin Rivers. We sat courtside during that playoff series. Matt Barnes, who is an a-hole, and you know he's my least favorite player to ever have played in the NBA, was talking so much smack to the entire Rockets team, and it drove McHale nuts that no one, and I mean no one, would even try to go out there and throw a shoulder, throw a bow, stick up for somebody, or send a message. And then Blake Griffin got involved, and Chris Paul was involved. But we had Patrick Beverley at the time, and he wasn't having it from Chris Paul. He was up in his junk. Mm-hmm. But Blake Griffin continually just kept running his mouth, and there was no one to say timeout. I thought Nene would be that guy. I thought he would be the guy that says, you touch Harden, any of my guys, I'll knock you on your ass. I thought P.J. Tucker was that kind of guy.
P.J. didn't want nothing to do with
that. But he didn't, and I don't understand that. Are we still looking for, and I hate the term goon in basketball.
Enforcer.
But an enforcer, right.
I mean, on the court, I think you'll get that. But I think Trevor Ariza is your enforcer. He's the guy that's going to go over there. I mean, like, we look at the, you talked about the fight that happened last night between the Magic and the Mavs.
Yeah.
What was it?
I want you to tell us the way you do me. Who was the guy from Minnesota?
I gotta look up the names. Oh, just give me the link.
It was Aaron Aflalo and Valencia.
Well, it was Aflalo that threw the punch.
Oh, he missed, but he threw a haymaker.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Again, more Wolf tickets. If he wanted to punch that dude, he wouldn't have thrown that punch. He intentionally didn't want. He wanted to send a message, but he didn't want to punch that dude. It's just like, okay, I mean, I get it. They're all million-dollar babies and all that, so I get it.
Take it a step further. Valencia, who could have retaliated, had him in a headlock and had him pinned down.
Did you see what he mouthed?
No.
You know I like to read the lips and see what's going on. You can see him say, I was just holding him. I was just holding him. In other words, I was stopping the fight. Yep. He never threw a punch, which he could have.
And I would have pulled
him down and choked him out. Like I would have gone.
The ball throw is what aggravated me the most about Blake Griffin. When he threw it at Eric Gordon.
Yeah, off when he was going out of bounds.
That was way too high. You're taught that from when you're a little kid, just throw it at the person's legs and then hope the ball goes at
him. Well, because he was sending a message. He was trying to be who he is.
But, like, if I'm, like, what was his name? Valencia?
Yeah.
He could have easily guillotined that dude. Like, if he had any UFC or MMA training, excuse me, he would have pulled him down, guillotined him, choked him out. He could have done it then. He could have started hitting him on the back of the head. He didn't do anything. He held him.
We will
and you could see him say that. I was just
I didn't see that part of it, but we absolutely call it the intelligent wussification of the NBA because he was smart enough to realize if I do anything here, I'm going to have a bad look, but I'm going to have a big fine, and I also may lose a game check or two. But the way he handled it is exactly what the NBA has come to avoid a suspension. He's trying to avoid as much of a fine as he possibly can. He basically had the whole world in his hands to throw uppercuts and do take him down, like you said, and he just held him and said, yeah, I'm done.
That's it. And he, you could tell. Because, I mean, they were pushing and shoving, but I think if this wasn't the Rockets, then I think you would be hearing a different narrative maybe from some folks in this town. But I think that everyone that made that trip to that locker room needs to be suspended. They need to be fined. And the league needs to send a message. It's just not okay. You just can't do that. Have a little bit of class. Act like a grown-up. And if you don't like it, settle it on the court.
Well, first of all, there's already been bad blood.
But and trips then to the locker room.
Then you have the trade. Then all this about the secret passageways and all this other stuff. I thought the greatest tweets were the guys that were saying Mbah Mute has a secret passageway in the ceiling that he's coming through an air conditioning duct. And everybody, it's not that secret, okay? And if you play in the building, you know it. But here's the thing to your point, Barry. Because the officiating has been horse bleep the whole year, and because you're now seeing a lot more dust-ups, and because on back-to-back nights you saw fighting and haymakers and all kinds of stuff, they're going to send a message. And unfortunately, they'll start with the biggest one to send, and that is to both teams have been known to get into these kind of things.
Yeah.
Not just with each other, but they'll send a message, and we'll see what that means for the Rockets.
Yeah. I think it's going to mean some missed playing time. I want to talk about the game a little bit, too, because I noticed a few things that I thought was interesting about the benches and the teams and so forth. So
there you
have continue
it.
That.
We're just getting started. And for all of you people that were pointing fingers, Charlie Polillo, we are here and we are here with numbers in unison for the next 3 hours. We're going to take it till 4 o'clock. We'll see if Fred and AJ can make it in. But rest assured, you guys are our suspects and we are here for you. If you're here and we're here, it's our time. And it will be till 4 o'clock. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's a way back Wednesday. We are in studio and therefore we are staying true to our word. Wednesdays are way back Wednesdays. Today, weather related pre-2000 as we go hot or cold and we continue to mix them in.
You know what makes me mad about the weather? It's not even the weather or the inconvenience. It's the people.
Okay.
And not even the people that can't drive, not even, it's the people, and don't take offense to this, because I'm not talking about you. Mm. It's the people from up north that live down here now that talk crap about us Southerners not being able to handle ice. They're like, oh.
Thank you so much.
You guys think this is cold?
Thank you so much.
If you had to deal with a real winter, you guys would never make it. And these are the same people that go back home and bitch it when it's 80 degrees about how hot it is. Like, you don't see Southern people bit like, man, you guys think this is heat? You know what I mean?
I just got off the phone with my buddy yesterday. And he was basically saying, I'm like, dude, be careful, dude. You might want to stay inside, you know, icy road conditions. Like, man, I'm with my buddy from up north, and he's got a Range Rover, and he's kind of laughing at us right now. I'm like, oh, my God.
Laughing at us.
That's like,
I have a bunch of Nigerian friends that are comedians that be like, you call this hot?
Yeah.
Like, they don't do that, you know? Come on, man.
I mean, here's the thing.
I want to hear that out of you.
Myself included, but the cities that everybody East Coast and up north lived in are engineered and designed to be prepared for weather. This city, as we were talking about in the first segment, this city did not plan for excessive cold weather and freezing temperatures, and that's why there are so many overpasses. That's why there are so many elevated, like when you go from the Beltway to 59 or over there off of I-10 coming to Grand Parkway. It's designed and structured to be a warm weather city. That's why it makes it so dangerous. So, yeah, you've been through it before, but you've never been through it while the elements around you are a hot weather city experiencing
and,
cold weather.
And exactly. To Barry's point, it's a very, it doesn't even matter if you're, if you've, like if you're a Houstonian, you, for, in order for you to know how to drive in those type of conditions, you've had to have the reps. You didn't just drive on ice and just learn how to drive on ice. You made a few mistakes. I imagine you slid a few times. You probably hit something. It's the same thing here. We don't have enough reps for us to know how to drive on ice. That's why I like to just stay away from it.
And it's like me and my buddies, like where I have this little group, like I guess you could call it a clique of comedians, where we're all in this little Facebook group, and we chat. It's a more of a chat, like a messenger.
When you're
and
you can add busy with Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, you can add multiple people to it. And this one dude is from Canada, and he was like, man, I'm not even hating on you guys because it's different. Like, you guys don't have all-season radials or snow tires or any experience. You've got summer tires. It's never icy here for very long.
News stations are literally educating you on how to open your door, how to de-ice your
windshield. There's no ice scrapers.
Because we do not
know.
Throw
hot water on it. No, don't do that.
I didn't even know you weren't supposed to open up your door. Apparently, you're supposed to push on it first
to crack the ice.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I just opened my door.
Well, my wife knows it all, so I didn't have to worry about that. Because no matter what
everybody's wife knows it all, because wives are know-it-alls.
I've lived here. I know, Joel. And then 5 minutes later, she's ticked off because, God forbid, what I said to her she didn't listen to.
But, like, yeah, I just, I don't know. I just get, it infuriates me when people from up north, when it,
don't
in
just
a time like
north,
this.
It's north and east.
Yeah, well, specific. When I say up north, though, I mean the carpetbaggers from northeast, from New York, from Boston, from Philly. Yep. I'm not talking about up north like Chicago necessarily, because that's Midwest to me. Yep. I would say Midwest. Yeah, just stop. No one cares that you've been through the cold. Who gives a crap? You know what? Go home. Go move back.
I bet you know what you're talking about when they go home. I bet you they're bragging about Houston, how there's no snow, and they don't have to worry about shoveling, you know, snow for a parking spot.
Like,
they're actually
don't talk crap. Just go get a job back where you were from. How about that? You just leave us our jobs and our heat and our freaking out over a day of ice.
The other thing is, like, even when I lived in Portland, Oregon, you know, they have a lot of rain, but they don't expect it snows once every 3-4 years, so they don't plan for it either. And they get tons of black ice because of the moisture and the amount of rain they get. But you still got jackasses driving 80 miles an hour in a VW Rabbit trying to take a hairpin turn and end up in a ditch. They don't have guardrails. The good thing that people aren't talking about in the Midwest and in the East when they get snow is when you figure out you don't jam on your brakes and you start sliding, you don't hit a curb and a cement median. You normally hit a snowbank and you just back out of it and keep going with no damage done. Here, you hit concrete and your car and you are screwed. That can slow the whole thing down. It happened yesterday twice on overpasses on 59.
Man, I just...
That's why I wanted to drive my little beat-up... I have a beat-up, like, backup vehicle. I was afraid to drive.
I told you to drive it yesterday.
Yeah. Because if you hit my beat-up, it's on you, dude. Like, my beat-up car, it's on you. Like, it's nothing
plus,
you can do.
You can't prepare for how idiotic the other drivers are. And I already know how idiotic a driver you are normally. But be prepared because the idiots are going to tailgate you. They're going to...
They're
going to
speed. I don't speed. I really don't speed in this type of weather.
Well, and they don't... You know, today, even coming here, on the feeder road, because the 59 was closed, and we're all on the feeder road. You're not going anywhere. And this lady kept trying to, like, no signal, last minute, change lanes. And she changed lanes in front of a semi, and he laid on the bighorn for about 10 seconds, and then flipped her off, going, you're not going anywhere. Just stop it. But that's the mentality. People just... Yeah. They don't know, and they don't care.
Nope.
Not worried about your livestock, so I found a piece on farmingmagazine.com.
My livestock?
On the farm?
Yeah. Like, do you have a good windbreak on your farm? Because that's a really good option to keep livestock warm.
I do.
Do you have a good windbreak?
When we cleared the back 40, we made sure we left about 25 foot
it's
of underbrush.
Literally titled, 5 Ways to Keep Livestock Warm During the winter.
I'm happy to report we didn't lose any animals at the Laminac
farm.
That's
why you're late. Because you're worried about all the livestock.
Yeah. I did go outside and, like, we have an outdoor kitchen with, like, we have our gas grill. I have my gas grill there. And then on the left, it's just a sink, which I don't know why they call it an outdoor kitchen. It's just a grill area with a sink, but it's fancy. But
of course it is.
The only thing that had frozen around the house was that sink. And I haven't used that sink. I rarely use that sink. But there was water coming out of the spout that froze. So I guess it had expanded or whatever from the cold.
If you hadn't been using it, though, there shouldn't have been water that much into the pipe.
Well, it was. And that there was just hanging this big icicle hanging down. And I was like, well, I guess I should cover that. Because everything else was wrapped and covered. And
I was telling
whatnot,
Lance.
But
Lance was like, I've got underground plumbing, so I didn't think I needed to cover my pipes. And now my pipes are kind of... I go, Lance, I mean, you just... All you got to do is watch the news for like one day. Yeah, and you got to cover where your outdoor sprinkler system comes up above ground.
That's the backflow preventer. Yeah, there's a big metal thing on the top, but that's the first thing you're supposed to cover.
I did all of that, and I did it while it was getting cold because, like, damn it, I forgot to go back and redo it. But yeah, there's certain things you just know, like driving in the snow and other things. But there's certain things you just got to be prepared for. And if you don't, watch TV. And by the way, Nick, on the farm animal thing, I was watching a different station yesterday afternoon for live coverage. And someone on Channel 2 actually chuckled when they showed a cow with icicles and like freezing fur on the air. Not cool at all.
Not cool. I ain't gonna lie, I probably would have laughed at the cow.
With the cow had icicles hanging off of him?
That's brutal, man.
Especially if it was like his balls or something. That would be hilarious. You got icicles hanging off your balls? I'm laughing. I don't care what it is.
And
cow,
Lisa tweeted yesterday.
I'm gonna laugh at you.
But she literally saved another
dog's
life.
Could you imagine
life.
If there was icicles hanging off the cow teats? Like the...
The udders.
Yes. Oh, God, that would be hilarious.
That's not funny. But Lisa, someone had called Lisa's station and made Lisa aware of the fact that they had a dog tied up and just a couple times just said on a very short leash and said, screw it with the weather. And Lisa got the authorities involved and everybody. They saved the dog's life. They got a couple dogs to a shelter and made sure they were okay. And I was like, now that's cool. But, you know, chuckling about animals who got icicles on their fur, that's kind of BS.
No, I would have laughed. I totally would have laughed.
I want to get Lamont.
Yeah, let's do Lamont's call.
Lamont, what's up?
Hey, man, I was thinking about this whole weather condition, and I know it doesn't perfectly align up with last year, but I was sitting back thinking how horrible this would have been as far as the image if the Super Bowl would have been in Houston this year.
Yep.
It would have been almost like Dallas, man.
No, you're right, but Lamont, think about this. The first Super Bowl that was here, we had bad weather for Houston standards. It was chilly.
It was rain.
It was rain and it was chilly. And I remember that the league didn't want to come back. We got killed for that as a city because no matter what kind of, you know, other things than all the amenities we had and all the buildings and venues, we got killed because of the weather the first go round and they didn't want to come back. So, yeah, I mean, we got labeled and it's not our fault that we can't mess with Mother Nature.
Yeah, I'm just really cross comparing how it looked last year compared to what we just went through the last 3 or 4 days. In terms of the cold, if the Super Bowl would have been here, we would have got crucified just like Dallas, man. And that's all I had, though.
Yep. Well, think about what Minneapolis is going to go through this year because there ain't no escaping it up there. They are going to have cold weather for the Super Bowl. And, you know, think about all the outdoor activities we had at Discovery Green and how they made that the headquarters and all the different buildings that you could just walk to. That's all out the window. You better have skywalks in Minneapolis, which they have a lot of. But it is going to be bitterly cold. New York, remember, even got lucky that it wasn't that bad when they had that Super Bowl for MetLife Stadium. It's going to be an adventure up there.
Man.
Not a lot of people wanting to trek to Minneapolis for the Super Bowl just to make appearances.
Mm-mm.
I bet you Radio Row's a little sparse, too.
I would be willing to bet so. I mean, what are they projecting the weather's going to be like over there?
I'm going to guess cold.
I bet you 0 degrees.
You think? All right, let's
I'm going to say
up.
The teens.
I'm going to pull it up at the break.
What before you pull it up?
I'm going to say... Yeah, I'll say like 18 degrees.
Yeah, okay.
What do you got?
I'm going to say 0 degrees.
Zero?
Yeah, I said the teens.
So what do you
say? I'll go 15.
15? All right. We'll look it up at the break.
We'll go over.
Do you want to explain the song? Because I have no idea.
Yeah, by Cold Cold Heart, Hank Williams Jr.
Are you drunk?
It's Cold Cold Heart. You always dabble into the way backs.
You can tell he definitely Googled this. As much crap as he gives you for Googling this, he definitely Googled.
Why is it that you put that on me, but you are the music aficionado that would have had this in your collection?
I'm Googling cold weather songs. If this is listed on one of the first three links, then
please
you definitely...
Do. Go ahead.
What is this?
Go ahead.
What is this?
Hank Williams Jr., Cold, Cold Heart.
Yep, number 14 on the list.
You're right.
Nope. Nope, the best song's about being cold.
Let's be honest. Barry and Nick didn't do a damn thing, and I did the list for everybody.
Nick, I'm the drama guy.
Hammer on, Barry. Hammer on. Hey, the gang's all here. We'll be back with much more from the Tool Shed. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You'll never know how much it hurts.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, where we've been covering the gamut from the weather to the news that was while we were out. And we will also, of course, get to the news that is and will be as we continue to roll on. We are the only show to have been present and accounted for today on the day after, so to speak. But props to Dell and Raheel and the guys for hanging in there yesterday in the morning until Jean cut them off and said go home before it gets bad, because everybody...
Really? But the driving conditions were fine. Do they deserve that much credit?
But they, you know, they stuck it out. So I'll give them credit.
Did they do some of our show?
They were going to go into, at least go up to our show.
Uh-huh.
And Dell and Raheel were thinking about trying to cut out early anyway. And John came in and said, you can go at noon. And they're like, oh, we thought we'd go at 11:30, but I guess we can make it till lunchtime.
That's funny.
Yeah, but I'll give them credit because they stuck it out.
All right, I looked up the weather. They haven't projected that far out yet.
Yeah.
But the average high and low in Minneapolis... on February 4th, the average high is 26. The average low is 9. So
I can't imagine how great it's going to be with those golf tournaments that they do all week during Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. That's not going to be fun aren't at happening. All.
Those no. become bowling tournaments and poker tournaments for fundraisers. Because, yeah, that's one of the knocks that Houston got for the first Super Bowl go-around was that they had so many celebrity golf tournaments planned.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do them they did them and it was cold and people bitched.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just a fluke that the one year we had bad weather during Super Bowl.
It's usually, that's the luck of Houston. Somebody texted the show and said, I'm sure there's a lot of wind breaking at Barry's house. All right, that's accurate.
I didn't even know that existed.
Funny, but accurate. Yeah, I didn't know what the hell that was
either. I had to Google it. What's a wind break?
Yeah, so then I asked Barry, and trying to look smart, I said, what's it made out of? He said, oh, wood. You know, just real quick. And then we found out that it was actually shrubs and trees. And I go, yeah, I guess you're right, because they're made of wood.
I thought a windbreak. You ever seen, like, you pass a big farm, and there's, like, one of those, it's almost like a half barn?
Yeah, that's
like,
what I thought it
it's
was.
It's like a wall on only one side, and then it's got, like, a little roof and maybe some, you know, supporting
like some pillars
posts.
Or whatever.
Yeah. But, so I thought, well, maybe that's a windbreak. That's why I said it's made out of wood. But apparently when I Googled windbreak, what they showed was just a row of trees. So, yeah, I do have a windbreak.
For that purpose? For animals?
No, just so I can pee in my backyard with nobody seeing me.
That's what I said. That's when he's frolicking naked on the 40 acres, he needs his privacy.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But on a serious note, man, I don't think they're not going to go back to Minnesota for a while. I know it's a new stadium and all, but it's just not a good idea to put an event that big.
No, it's not, but that's why they did it. When you get a new stadium, it's kind of like the NBA All-Star game. When you get a new stadium, you're almost promised that you're going to get a Super Bowl. That's their, like, you do this and we'll do that. And so they had to at least get him one, and it's indoors.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you know, again, but think about this. The Pontiac Silverdome, when they had a dome in Detroit, they had one there. So you're going to get at least one, and if it's a good venue with a lot of seats for a lot of people, they'll deal with the rest of the critics.
I don't see why. I mean, it's a dome. The rest of it is just...
It's a cash cow for the league, though. So, you know, it's not just the game
it's
anymore.
It's the experience and the 2 weeks leading up to it. And yeah. Everybody came away with a really, really positive experience last year.
Right, and think about that. Like I said...
A really positive experience.
All the outdoor stuff just associated with Super Bowl itself. But then, because of the fact that you can have golf tournaments during the day, parties at night. The NFL does their big award show that Saturday night, and they could do the red carpet outside. Everybody's trying to make a profit, and the league makes so much more money when people aren't, like, running from building to building, and they can do things from the actual venues themselves to in between. So,
I don't know why they won't, and I know some of it has to do with the venues, but I would think that they would try to be more fair about rotating through the different cities, even if it is an older venue, because that, to me, would be as much money as it can infuse into to a community. Mm-hmm. You would think that that would be one of the benefits of being in a city that has an NFL team is at some point you get to host a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
But they only do it with five, six, you know, seven different cities, and that's it.
I agree with the logic, but let's be honest. No one is going to a Super Bowl and wants it at Lambeau Field or at Soldier Field in Chicago.
You'll do it in New York in an open-air stadium? Why not?
Because it's just not attractive for
anyone. New York's a crap hole.
And again, because we just got done saying, it's a whole week and a half event. And if nothing is even remotely possible outside, including just walking from one venue to the next, they don't want any part of that.
Man, that's not fair.
I agree it's not fair, but that's the reality of it.
Well, I think that's stupid.
That's fair for you to say that, too.
Give every city the opportunity, at least.
You got New York in the past, what, like 10 years, you've got New York, Indianapolis, Dallas, Fort Worth. Those are all in the...
Dallas sucked, by the way. Remember that.
San Francisco, I didn't get a chance to go, but I heard great things about it.
By the way, the outcome didn't
suck. Fabulous.
The outcome didn't suck in Dallas, but the weather did.
Oh, God.
You already know.
Houston, 2017, but the last time before that was 2004, so it was just once in Houston in the last 10 years. Phoenix in 2015.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Hey, why does Lamont keep tagging producer T. Scott on Twitter when he's talking to us?
Because he and Tyler got into a little back and forth on Twitter before we got on the air about being able to maneuver through any kind of weather and stuff if you're a Houstonian and knowing how to time up the light.
I thought he was confusing Nick for Tyler.
God, no one would ever do that.
No, you're right.
No.
Nothing similar about those guys.
No. And by the way, before we get completely off the Chris Paul topic, now there's rumors out there from Terez Owens, who's kind of like a gossip columnist too, but saying that Austin Rivers was basically saying inappropriate things to Chris Paul about his wife and how he may or may not have had relations, and that fired up everybody and caused some of the dust up. Austin Rivers, again, shut up.
Yeah, and I didn't get to say some of my observations from that game, so I'm glad you brought it up, because as I'm watching the game, I noticed a couple things. Number one, I noticed that the Clippers really, really like to press, and they did just about every time down the court when Chris Paul, so it made me think, do they know something that maybe the other teams haven't, because I felt like just about every trip, As soon as the ball was inbound, there was somebody on Chris Paul and making him work it all the way up the court. So I thought, okay, well, that tells you something. If I'm another team in the NBA, I'm thinking, okay, the team he used to play for, the team that knows him best is pressing him. He must either not like the press, or it gets him out of his rhythm, or it disrupts the offense, or whatever. So I would file that away for later.
By the way, the Clippers, when they played here, Chris Paul didn't play. Harden did. Remember what happened when they were pressing?
Yeah.
Harden got frustrated, got two offensive fouls, and cost him the game. So it's a team mentality, too, from a high strategy.
Well, and I think you can watch the game and see that it really did throw them off of their offense a bit. But the other thing I noticed is how much juice the second team for the Clippers played with. And I mean specifically all the guys that got traded, Montrezl Harrell and
Sam Decker.
And on the bench, you saw Pat Beverly, how pumped up he was. It was like they really had something to prove. And I thought it hilarious because at one point there was three former Rockets on the court, all second team bench players on the court for the Clippers versus the Rockets. And I thought, that tells you something about the depth that the Rockets had and the Clippers have. And these are, so on the court, there were three-fifths of the Clippers team were former Rockets that were included in the trade to get Chris Paul. So it tells you what the value was for Chris Paul versus what the Rockets gave up or what they had.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. Doc Rivers is a smart coach, and mm-hmm. he saw the way he has to play to beat the Rockets when he beat them here because he was starting three guys out of the D-League, for God's sake. So he had to do something, and one of the things he can do is energy. Energy, youth, and exuberance and athleticism to try and stay with the Rockets. The second thing, to your point on pressing, easiest way to take the Rockets out of their offense, regardless of who has the ball, is to start pressing and picking up in the backcourt because now they can't do the run and gun that they want to do.
They're not
going to
get the ball up quick.
And aside from Sam Decker, who's the centerpiece of any big trade that you could possibly make as a team, when you look at it, Lou Williams was a guy that we talked about earlier in the week on the show last week. The fact of the matter was, he was happy when he got here, pissed off when he left, and basically tweeted out, let's pretend it didn't happen because he wasn't happy he got traded again. And he had something that he wanted to prove, too. Beverly, you know, was chomping at the bit to be out there, and he couldn't.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I'm watching the game, and every time you would see, like, Griffin had that and one where he went up kind of almost a reverse up under the basket, and the bench is going nuts, and they're looking at the Rockets bench, and they're pointing and jumping up and down, and it's Beverly and Decker, and I think, man, there's some real, they're really mad about
this. There's animosity, and, yep.
And you said it best, or maybe it was Nick, I don't know, one of you said it's going to create a great rivalry, but it already has, essentially. Yep. But that's what I thought, is, boy, they really don't like the Rockets. And they are really upset that they got traded.
And we all know how tough Pat Beverly is, but let's just be real. He asked for a trade at the end of last year. He wanted out. He was done dealing with all of the sideshows and the Harden things and all the other things. He wanted a place where he could shine. No greater place aside from New York than L.A., and he got what he wanted. You know, it's just you still feel like everybody should want you, so it was hard that a team actually traded you. But they did what you wanted to do, so don't go too far if you're Pat Beverly. But the other guys, I get it. You liked Houston. You liked everything about it. You were fitting in well. You were starting to get into a groove. Lou Williams thought it was a great place for him to excel, and then they were all dumped to try and get better. And when you're one-upped by trying to get better and you're not one of the guys being brought in to be better,
yeah,
it hurts.
Well, I think especially for Montrez and Decker, because those two guys, they came into the Rockets and they literally were getting better as they were a Rocket. You know what I mean? They were literally getting better, yeah. And they made the progress. They worked hard to get better they came up and they proved themselves. And so it hurts when you get approached by the team and say, hey, this is what we expect from you, Montrez. We're trying to get you better at this, 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 and that. You do all those things, and then you get traded
away.
But
this is a business. And those guys wouldn't give it a second thought if they could go make $50 million more in another city. They would bolt. But, so I don't feel sorry for them. Not one bit.
Can I also throw this out there? You never heard anything from Montrez Harrell. And you didn't see him get mad. You know why? Nope. Mike D'Antoni didn't like him and didn't play him. When we were all clamoring last year, why isn't Harrell playing more?
He didn't trust him.
An opportunity, and he's getting major minutes. He's happy as hell to get out of here.
He's playing with a vendetta because he's got something to prove.
And he said that from the time that he remembers all the teams that didn't draft him, too, and he wanted to get back at them.
Yeah.
I get that, but he also has no animosity to want to fight guys or feel scorned like the other guys do. So, you know, it's going to be interesting because the next time they play is in Staples Center at the end of February. That's going to be must-see TV because it was there before. Mm-hmm. It's now there now, and it's going to keep going in the future. And guess, by the way, who the matchups would have teams playing in the first round if it ended today? Oh, the Rockets and Clippers mm-hmm. in the first round.
Oh, that would be a fun series.
Would be interesting.
A couple of headlines before we go to break. Kawhi out indefinitely with quad injury.
Another quad.
Yeah.
Out of the torn muscle in his shoulder and all the other stuff.
Steelers. And I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are now in the 3 spot over the Spurs.
Mm-mm.
They're close. They lost last night.
The Steelers, Tomlin parts ways with O.C. Haley.
Yep, Todd Haley gone.
Yep. And then there was the Jay Bruce going back to New York to the Mets. Signed a 3-year deal.
39 mil.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got all that, and we can get to that and a whole lot more. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter as we are available. And right